Brother Gibson told me on a number of occasions, that's Keith Gibson. On a number of occasions, he told me if you give them a little bit at a time, they'll keep coming back for more. As I look at the clock over the last few weeks, I don't know that anybody would agree that it's been a little bit at a time. And yet you keep coming back. And then I text somebody this afternoon and said I had a shocker this morning. I said the church said that we had to go. It was some time before they responded, even though we had been texting back and forth. And the respondent said, "Go where? Exclamation point, question mark, question mark." I said, "One-way ticket to Israel." So, maybe Brother Gibson wasn't all that correct in his assessment. Keep coming back and you do something like that after those 40 minutes and maybe even some were 45 or more, then it surely must not be too true. Lauren's cutting something up here again. What's he saying now? So maybe tonight, even though you've given me lots of time, maybe tonight I'll keep it short, huh? Actually, my mind has been going in a number of different directions. And I enjoyed the Wednesday night topic that Benjamin gave us. And listening not only to what he had to say about Hebrews 12. That's after we listened to it being read in its entirety. So we were getting the picture. And as he mentioned, he read it through three times in succession and was beginning to get a deeper understanding of what the chapter was saying. And then we sat for a little while longer and listened to what some of you were getting out of that chapter. The specifics that were coming off the page at you, and the angle that it was hitting you. Maybe it was a facet off of what he was saying, or a new look at something else in that passage. All of it's so good. You look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and it's the book of a better way. We come to chapter 12, and as he mentioned, Benjamin mentioned that it follows this Heroes of the Faith chapter. And all of these listings of people that had walked this way and had faced some sore trials, they accomplished many great things and were made to believe that they were people just like you and I are. May not have had any more ability. It's just that God used them in their place. Same thing that God can do for us in our place if we allow Him to, if He needs us to be. And he was talking about patience, and it's not something that is of a passive patience where you just sit back and twiddle your thumbs, as a picture of patience might be for some, but it's an active patience that a reliance on somebody greater, higher, more powerful than we. And then he cited for us the Apostle Paul. My wife stood and testified, and she cited for us a Joseph. You know, there's all these different people in Scripture that we can use. Of course, Benjamin then thought she was going to mention Job. some of you, a lot of you weren't here Wednesday night, so this is all brand new. But there's so many different people that we can cite as examples of patience. But the thing that has stood out in my mind that the writer here in this chapter gives us an example of somebody that has just continued to ring in my mind and ring in my heart. I came to prayer meeting Wednesday night. You know, nothing great on my mind as such. But in the back of my mind, I've been wrestling with a decision. What should I be doing? What should I be involved with and not involved with was the biggest question. Leadership is one thing that until you're there, you don't really fully understand all the different facets involved. And last year, I was approached about a situation, and in the midst of that situation, the charge was presented, a charge maybe a little strong, but it was presented that I was being unethical in something. Now, that's getting real close to my heart when somebody's wanting to kindly, even if it is in kindness, challenge on ethics. You know, that's, whoa, what's going on? And so we worked through it and went to the leaders and we talked it out and we worked it out and we came to an agreement. And as far as I know, it's been laid to rest. I think it's been laid to rest. There's another facet to that I won't go into. I want to be careful simply because I don't want to offend anybody that's been involved. And you never know who may log on and listen later. But then this year, something else took place. Another situation came up. And this situation was kind of a different, completely different, and yet it was similar. If you can understand, and you may not without knowing the details, and I'm not going to give you the details. But in this particular situation, I could easily just say absolutely not. You know, we're not doing that, blah, blah, blah. But then it would appear to be that I'm a person without compassion for the hurt that was involved with. And I don't want that. You know, I don't want someone to think that I don't have any compassion for their hurts. You know, that's not good. And so I was caught between two and trying to find my way through. And I was thinking that maybe it's just time, because of a lot of circumstances, that it's time for me just to step aside and allow this role to go into somebody else's hands. And what do I do? And then Benjamin brings this subject up. And the thing that stood out in my mind that jumped off the page as we read through it and as we were listening to the comments that were being made, verse 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him." Wow. The joy that was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. But then look at verse 3. "For consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." Some powerful words right there. If you believe at all that the message that was brought to us on Wednesday night was ordained of God, and I would like to believe that when it's your turn to speak on Wednesday night, that you have the mind of God. I want to believe that. I want to accept it that way. And so when that subject was brought to us on Wednesday night, I have to accept that God was using it for a purpose for somebody, and it just might have been me. "For consider him that endured Okay, what does it mean to consider him? It means that we should attentively observe and analyze every part of his conduct. Okay, so if we were to take the time this evening, I wouldn't have time to get you out of here before the norm, but way past the norm, if we were to analyze and observe every part of his conduct. Look at everything that's happened in record for us this evening and analyze his conduct. But we take a look at it and we find that he, for the joy, or for joy that was set before him, he did it not just a willingness out of a heart grudgingly, but he did it out of a heart that was willing because he found joy in what? In pleasing his Father. Not only should we analyze, observe, or attentively observe and analyze every part of his conduct, but we should enter into his spirit. For entering into his spirit gives us a complete different understanding than just standing back and looking at him. You know the old proverb. Isn't it called a proverb? Don't judge the Indian till you walk in a mile in his moccasins. You can't judge what a person is doing by observing until you have entered into his spirit. And so when we look at what Christ did and we analyze his conduct, we can't fully understand all that's taking place there until we make at least an attempt to get into the spirit part of what he was doing. The spiritual side was that he was willing to do anything at all, anything if it glorified his Father, even to the point where he suffered and gave of his life. How about examining his motives? When we consider him, we must examine his motives and we must examine the object. We must remember that as he acted, we are called to act. And the same spirit that furnished him grace or strength or support furnishes us the strength, support, and grace. And so as we look at the end of the story, we find that he, though he bore the continual oppression of sinners against himself, yet we find that he conquered, and he conquered by what? He conquered by meekness, he conquered by patience, and he conquered by perseverance. I'm sure that you've had some dreams that have been realistic. You've awakened from dreams and thought that they were so real. I've had a couple recently. And the most recent, I was up early the other morning, and after some time I laid back down and I dozed off. And I don't know how long I dozed off, but while I was dozing, my mind was in full gear. And what was going on in my mind was not a pleasant experience. There was a struggle going on. You know, it's amazing what you can do in your mind that your body can't do. You know, especially after you get a certain age, your mind still thinks you can do some things, but there's no possible way. Well, the intensity was such that I was doing things that I don't think I could have done in my prime, let alone now. It was intense. But he conquered through meekness, patience, and perseverance. It wasn't just a dream, it was the reality of life that he faced. And he left us with an example so that we could follow in his steps. Adam Clark said it this way: "Howsoever great your opposition may be, ye shall not be weary. If ye confide in and attentively look to him, ye shall have continual courage to go on and never faint in your minds." You say, well, what does that mean? my wife can tell you stories. As the stress level comes up, my mind goes into bizarre ways, especially in dreams. She has fun telling those stories. She'd be happy to share some with you tonight, I'm sure. But Adam Clark said that though the opposition may be great and weariness may come, that we can confide in and attentively look to Him. We don't have to worry about it. He said, continual courage to go on and never faint in your minds. What is he referring to? He's referring to verse number 3, for consider Him. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Powerful, powerful verses. Verse number 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Could that be that he's making reference back to chapter 11? All of these who have already been mentioned, some of them were martyrs for their faith. They persevered, some of them even unto the death. They lost their lives in the midst of bearing testimony for the truth. But then we find them listed here. God didn't forget about them. You say, well, is God going to have another chapter 11 of Hebrews written for me? No, He might not. But there's a crown waiting for the faithful. Striving against sin, he says. The suggestion is that it's an allusion to the boxing of the Grecian games. That the fight is going on. It's taking place. There's a struggle involved. I don't know what your battles are. I don't know what your struggles are. It's not something that we walk around and share with one another. But the enemy is trying his best and will try his best to destroy any one of us or all of us. And as we look at patience, we can consider Paul. Paul's an example as he gave us. And Joseph's an example. And Job's an example. And on we can go with examples. But then we stop and consider Jesus Christ Himself. Looking unto Him, consider Him. Attentively observe and analyze. Enter into His spirit and examine His motives and His object, the reason for it, what's taking place behind the scenes. Understand what was all involved. And as we look at Jesus Christ and realize where He was and what He was and what He faced, then we can take courage to press. That doesn't give me the answer that I'm looking for, but it does tell me to take courage to continue to press in the battle. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Don't go home and pray for patience. Go home and consider Christ. Consider Jesus, looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Sister Green, would you dismiss us in prayer this evening?